Good evening and a warm word of welcome to Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. Delighted to have you with us for our special service this evening. Now obviously we're in a different setting than normal. I'm not standing behind a lectern to preach. Rather tonight we're having special singing and then a special word of testimony. And tonight one of our young people from our congregation, Jessica Cuthbertson, is going to sing a solo piece to us. And then immediately after, my own wife, Alex Omerod, is going to give a word of testimony of how the Lord saved her, how the Lord has blessed her and kept her, and even how the Lord continues to be with her and to bless her in these days. And I do pray that this meeting tonight, in this different form, will be a blessing to your heart and will even speak to you at this time.
Jessica, for that wonderful piece that she has brought to us in song. And if you have your Bibles with you, could you please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You know, I would like to thank God at this stage that I have a testimony of his saving grace to give. It's always an honour to stand and to give a testimony, even when it is not something that comes naturally and you can be very nervous doing it. So we're going to commence our reading at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we're just going to turn over now to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or prevail, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we're just at this time going to commit our way to the Lord and commit the rest of this service. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time, Lord, that we can come on a Sunday evening and gather around thy word. And Lord, we thank thee for the means that there is to get thy word out there on the internet and on sermon audio. And we just thank thee, Lord, that we are able still to hear a word from thee. And we just pray that thy hand will be with us this now as we would try to give our testimony, Lord. And we pray that all thy honour and thy glory would be unto thee. And that, Lord, through the simple things and the story of my life, Lord, that thou would see, the people would see thy hand in it. And Lord, we pray most of all that you would speak to sinners and that you would bring them on to thee. All these things we do ask in thy heavenly and thy wonderful and holy name. Amen. For those who do not know me, my name is Alex Omerod. I am the wife of the minister here in Six Mile Cross. That is probably why I have got roped in this evening to doing this. But as much as this can be a very nervous and nerve-wracking thing to do, it is my privilege to come and to give my testimony. I had the privilege of growing up in a home where my parents sent me each and every week to Sunday school, to children's meetings, and we attended our local Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church. You know, I learned many wonderful things there each and every Sunday and each and every children's meeting night from the teachers, the Sunday school teachers, from the children's meeting leaders, from the Word of God. And Lord, as much as they taught me, you know, I have to say, for my shame, none of that stuck with me. The minute I was let out and through those church doors, I left it all there. But you know, when the Lord drew me on to him at the age of 19, I have to say he brought many of those things back to memory. The verses I had learned, the catechisms were restored. It was all there, but the devil had just hid it from me. You know, don't be discouraged by this. I have taught Sunday school for many years, and you just have to pray over each and every child in your classroom, and that the Lord will continue to use those words that you have spoken and that they have learnt each and every week. Due to a situation in our church, and just due to family situations, we decided to try other churches in our area as a family. We tried the Church of God and Presbyterian and Baptist, but we were not content in any of these churches. And now I can see that that was because we weren't in the will of the Lord. We were going where our hearts had drawn us to, not where the Lord had taken us to. And this probably was the beginning of a disinterest in the Bible and in the Word of Lord, of the Lord. At primary school, you know, I had the privilege of moving to a primary school where the Word of God was spoken about each and every day. We prayed each and every morning in class. And I have to thank that teacher for those opportunities to hear the word. And it was easier in primary school to just fly under the radar, and you didn't have many confrontations about whether you were Christian, whether you were this, or whether you did this, or whether you went to nightclubs, or whether you went to you did worldly things. And you never had to worry about whose home you were going into and what kind of things they were involved in. But once leaving primary school, I went to a secondary school. This was a big change, like many children who leave from primary and go to secondary. This is where I would first encounter the world and many of its vices, but also it was where I would first encounter death. While in secondary year in school, a boy who took the bus with me, very quiet boy who never really did anything to anybody, who just worked hard and didn't fit in probably with the people there, he took his own life And, you know, he was coming up to his GCSE exams, so pressures of that and other things that he had been bullied and other things that had happened to him. And he obviously felt that enough was enough. And, you know, I find this very difficult to understand, because I was brought up in a home where you were to value life, and that if anything was so bad in your life, that you could go to the Lord. But so I couldn't imagine why anybody could feel this way. But you know, the Lord was to teach me a lesson through this, because it wouldn't be long in my life that I would feel very similar to this boy. But you know, very quickly things, school and things went back to normal. I enjoyed school. It was hard. There was difficult times. I went to a school in the area that was known to be quite rough. There was no Christians within it, really. You could count one hand. And, you know, I never, at this stage, I wasn't saved. But, you know, I still was involved in my local church. I did outreach. I gave out leaflets. And it was on one of these occasions I was out in a local village, and we were giving out leaflets, and I knocked the door, and one of the boys that got my bus opened the door and took the leaflet. Well, on Monday morning, I didn't want to get that bus because I knew what was coming. And as I stepped on that bus, there was, all you could hear was Bible basher, Bible basher. And you know, I couldn't understand this, because I was out doing something, but you know, I wasn't saved. So I was just like them, but yet they were calling me names. And you know, that just started me to get very hard and cold against the word of the Lord. So I began to make friends within the school, but friends that weren't drift away from my church friends. And these friends were friends that would lead me further into the world and further into things of the world. They introduced me to alcohol and to nightclubs at the young age of 15. Now, my parents weren't aware of this, and it's not something they would have wanted me to do. As far as they knew, I was at a friend's house, and I was at a friend's house. But this friend was allowed to go to nightclubs and was allowed to drink. Her mum provided these things for her, took her there and back. So I went along too. And it was on one of these nights out that I met a boy, and this developed into a 4-year relationship that would take me further from the Lord and further from my family. I have to say, I thought I was so happy. I thought I was set for life and that everything was sorted. But you know, looking back, I have to say I can see the Lord's hand in it all, because this relationship was to end. And it was to end. The Lord was in control. My mother and my grandmother had never stopped praying for me to be saved. Even now that I was into my late 18s, 19s. And, you know, the Lord hadn't forgotten me. Through this breakup, the Lord was going to take me to rock bottom to show me that the only thing I could rely on and the only thing I needed in my life was Him. I soon fell into a very dark place. I felt the life I had built up for myself, it was all gone. I cried a lot, as you do, coming out of a relationship of that length. I slept a lot. I ate very, very little. And the only thoughts that could comfort me, sadly, I have to say, were death. There was no help or anyone to talk to. I hadn't the Lord to turn to at this point. My friends had been his friends, and I had drifted apart from my family. My loneliness soon turned into depression, and in turn this led to self-harm. Now, I have to say, it was nothing majorly, but self-harm nonetheless. This was a way of dealing with what I was going through. I felt I had no other outlets. But soon, you know, this wasn't enough. And the only thing that could comfort me was the thought that someday I would die and it would be all over. So one night, I gathered as many tablets from my home that would not be missed. I sat on my bed and I swallowed them. Now, these tablets probably weren't enough to do very much harm, but in my mind, this was the end. But the Lord, he was truly in control. Even though I wanted it to be all over, he wanted to save me. Now, in Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." That night in my room, the Lord's mercy was clearly evident. In that moment, fear and panic overtook me, and so that I couldn't keep any of those tablets down. But even though I was relieved to be alive for my family's sake, I still felt very alone. It was then that the Lord led my thoughts to church and friends that I had left long time before. So I got in touch with my cousin Rebecca, who I used to be very, very close with. And, you know, Rebecca was one of those friends that was at the primary school that I went to. And Rebecca and her friends became my support network. And they really did encourage me each and every time to go to any meetings. And they simply would do little things like pick me up or come with me, sit with me, keep me company, include me in even outside of church activities. You know, this was such an encouragement. And I encourage each and every one to take those small tasks and think of them as important, if not vital, to those people around us. But I still didn't know the Lord. I still felt unhappy and didn't like to be on my own. So Rebecca and I did stay with each other a lot. It was on one of these occasions that Rebecca said to me, and was talking about the Lord. Rebecca was always one for talking about the Lord and trying to get people saved. You know, and she just simply said, "What is worse, to die without the Lord and to find him real, or to know him now?" This stuck with me over the next few days. So one night, as I sat in my bed with my Bible in my hand, searching for answers, and the tears hitting the pages, it became so clear and simple. I needed to be saved. I was a sinner. And it was there and then I cried unto the Lord to forgive me for my sins and save me by his precious blood. And praise God, he did. There and then, he promised. In Romans 10, verse 13, had been fulfilled. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it shall be saved there and then. Not tomorrow, not in a year's time. When you call upon that name, he hears you that instant and you're saved. I have to say that waking up the next morning, I felt so different. I was much happier and I felt hope again. And most importantly, I had peace. I couldn't wait to tell my mum and family. When my granny came around later that day, we sat around chatting, and after a short time, my granny looked at me and she said, "Alex, did you get saved?" I couldn't believe it. How did she know? I started attending church faithfully, reading my Bible and praying every day. On one particular Sunday, I went to a Randallstown youth rally where I met Timothy. We had lots of chances to get to know each other as we had many mutual friends. Our relationship grew from there and we began to date, but it wasn't easy. I couldn't let myself trust anyone. After the previous relationship, I really wasn't ready for another. So we broke up. But Timothy, having the faith in the Lord and believing we were meant to be together, never cut ties with me. He continued to keep in contact and we still did many things together, and as our group of friends were the same. He was a great support to me and someone I could confide in. So in the Lord's time, he led us back together. This time it felt right, and we soon began talking of marriage. On the 24th of May 2007, we were married, and our first son Judah was born on the 2nd of October 2008. The birth of Judah was a miracle in itself, as I had been diagnosed with a condition when I was 16. The doctor had told me that because of this condition, it was highly unlikely that I would ever have children. After 3 years of happiness with our little son, we started to think about a sibling for Judah, but this time it wasn't just so easy. I went to the doctor and they referred me on, but in the meantime I prayed. I was so thankful for Judah, but still found it hard to take in that Judah might never have a brother or sister. But one night, when I was sleeping, I couldn't sleep, I sat in my bed and was reading. When reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I came to the verse 8 and 9. Whilst it is true these verses are not necessarily dealing with family, yet the Lord was able to speak and give me reassurance and peace through them. Verse 8 says, "There is only one, there is not a second, yet he hath neither child nor brother." And verse 9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labour." And once I read these verses, I had a peace that the Lord was in control and have all would be well. And 5 months later, I was pregnant. We were so happy. The Lord truly was good. He was never break his promises. The doctor had said I couldn't have any children, and now number two was on his way. And you know, the Lord truly is merciful and blessed me more than I could ever ask for. However, our joy and faith would once again be tested sooner than we expected. On the 21st of May 2013, Tim and I headed to our big 20-week scan. All was well. We found out that we were having another boy. I dropped Tim back to work and headed out to pick up Judah from Julie. On this occasion, I stayed for lunch before heading on. The Lord was once again in control of it all, of all our footsteps. Not only did I stay for lunch, but Tim was only working at the yard that day. For the previous 2 weeks, he had been drilling on top of a hill outside Newry. But that day, Robert died. Tim was only 10 minutes away. Shortly after I arrived, the phone rang to tell Julie that there had been an accident in England involving Robert and his 3 siblings. They didn't know anything else, so we began ringing hospitals and sisters. No one had answers, so I rang Tim and told him he needed to come home to his mum straight away. But by the time Tim had got to the house, we just received a phone call from the police to say Robert had passed away. Due to the English system, it took 10 days to get Robert's body home. Those days were one of the hardest times in my life, but I can truly say the Lord was with us and holding us up. His wonderful promise, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," was clearly fulfilled in those days and every day since. Looking back on that time, it was only by the grace of God and his loving arms around us that we were able to keep going and stay up step by step and day by day. Reuben was born on 13th of October 2013. Then in January 2014, our lives took another change of direction. Timothy had started talking about full-time service in God's work and going to study in the Whitfield College of the Bible. This was very out of the blue, as Tim had never felt the desire to go to the college, and with his father being a minister, many people had always said, "Will you not go to college?" And he was always adamant, "No, it's not for me." We were involved in the full-time work in Clock Mills, teaching Sunday school, helping in children's meetings, and Timothy was a committee man. But even when people asked him about going on, it was still always no. So we prayed together for God's will to be evident to both of us, so that we would both have a peace about this decision. Because there was a family to consider the effects of. We had children, we had a home, and we had many other responsibilities. The Lord laid a number of verses in my heart, firstly regarding his call. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of our Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And secondly, he gave me a verse regarding how he would keep us for these 4 years. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. It is all thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, looking back on the 4 years in college, if I was to have conjured up ways how the Lord was going to provide for us and our two children, I couldn't have. But yet, not a need was ever not met, not a meal, not a item of clothing. We always had everything we ever needed. By September, Tim had given up his job, and I had started back to work early from maternity. I have to say, the Lord was good, even with all the stresses and pressures that were included in this new lifestyle for us. There was exams and family and finances, but the Lord had promised to supply all our need, and never had he broken it. We continued to look to him for everything. In September 2018, we got the call to Six Mile Cross. We moved as a family at the end of October 2018. Even in the transition for us as a family, the Lord has undertaken for us and met every need. He helped the boys to settle into their new surroundings and has opened up opportunities for work for me. And in closing, I just would like to say, I would give all the praise and the glory to God. As I look back on my life and think upon everything that has happened, I thank God for saving me and for being with me. Even in those times when tragedies came and I asked the question why, even when I couldn't understand what was going on, and yet God was in control, His will is perfect. In our Christian lives, we are many times when God places certain circumstances in our lives to teach us certain lessons. We must remember that he will bring us through them for his glory. Whilst it is true that I have failed him many times, yet I can testify tonight that he has never failed me once. He is my all in all. And even in a recent situation, I can truly say that many of you would know that I have had back issues from when Ruben was born. They had got to the point that the only option was surgery, and I was in pain 24/7. And you know, the Lord, many days I cried in with the pain, and how was I going to get through the day, or how was I going to keep going? But the Lord always supplied my need and my energy to get through. And that got up the next day, and maybe there was a little bit of relief, and that got me through the next stage. But his timing is always perfect, and I got a phone call a week before the lockdown to say that there was a cancellation and did I want to come and have my operation. So a week later, I was called on Friday the 13th to have my operation. It all went ahead successfully, and I woke up from surgery in recovery, and the first things I could say was, I have no pain, I have no sciatic pain, I have no nerve pain. And that was such an amazing experience. And the next day I was sent home as they were clearing hospitals out, and lockdown came. And I have to thank God, because if I hadn't had my surgery when it was, it could have been pushed back more and more years. I had already waited nearly 3, and you know, it could have been another 3 with everything that has come to pass. So the Lord truly is merciful, and he will bring everything to pass in his time. I just want to leave a wee poem with you before I close. And it says, When I say I am a Christian, I don't speak with human pride. I'm confessing that I stumbled, needing God to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I am not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak, and I pray for strength to carry on. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting that I've failed and cannot ever pay the debt. When I say I am a Christian, I don't think I know it all. I submit to my confession, asking humbly to be taught. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are all too evident. But God believes I'm worth it. When I am a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, which is why I seek God's name. When I say I am a Christian, I do not wish to judge. I have no authority. I only know I'm loved. Thank you for listening.
Let me thank both Jessica and Alex for taking part in our service this evening. And certainly it has been a blessing to my own heart as we've listened in to both the singing and to the word of testimony. Let me say, if you have any questions, any spiritual concerns about your soul, obviously there's many things that have been discussed tonight, and the world is a tough and a hard place even to be. There's much discouragement in it, but yet there's such a wonderful comfort and such a safety and security to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do get in touch with us. Contact us even through either the Facebook Messenger, either through my email or my mobile number as well. We'd be delighted even to speak with you. If you have any spiritual questions, concerns at all, please get in touch with us. We are your servant in the Lord for his own sake. And we just encourage you at this time, don't leave it off. Get right with the Lord and even enjoy that sweet fellowship and forgiveness that only he can give. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, O God, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what thou hast done, even in the life of Alex. We thank thee for saving her. We thank thee for watching over her and keeping thy hand of mercy upon her over many years. And Lord, we thank thee even that she can testify and has testified up to this very point that the Lord's goodness and mercy has followed her each and every day of her life. And Lord, we just pray that thou will bless this word of testimony, bless the ministry and song as well. Lord, may it all be even used in the hand of the Holy Spirit to deal with the lost and to speak to them. Lord, bless, we pray in these days. Save many precious souls. Draw thy people unto thyself. In Jesus' name, amen.